Hello and welcome to Simply Save, a weekly personal finance podcast from Money Control. It is a show where we discuss all things money. I'm Preeti Kulkarni, and in today's show, we will turn our focus to the general insurance industry's expectations from Union Budget 2021. Now, COVID-19 has wreaked havoc all over the world, crippling healthcare infrastructure across many countries. Besides our individual savings, it has also stretched institutional sources of funding, that is, the governments and private health insurers, to their limits. The importance of having advanced medical facilities and also efficient healthcare financing system has come to the fore like never before. General insurance companies were also in focus last year due to their ongoing disputes with hospitals over COVID-19 treatment pricing. In the backdrop of issues that COVID-19 has uncovered, the general insurance industry is hoping that additional tax breaks will be announced in this budget. To understand the industry's expectations, we have with us today Sanjay Datta, Chief Underwriting Claims and Reinsurance with ICICI Lombard General Insurance.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Datta. It's great to have you here.
Thank you, Preeti.
So, now the Union Budget 2021 is just a few days away. What are the health insurance industry's expectations this year?
The expectations this year, are a bit like the previous years. We expect a fillip from the government for the drive for penetration of insurance in India. As you know, India is a very vastly under-penetrated country in terms of the number of people who take cover and also in terms of the kind of coverage, the breadth of coverage, and the extent of coverage. So given that, if you notice, when we have these, catastrophes, which India has now regularly experienced, a lot of small and big catastrophes like cyclones, floods, localized floods, we see a huge gap between economic damage and the insured damages. So, broadly, on an average, it's always less than 5%, where in most of the developed markets, it's upward of 30%. Correct. So that's where I think there is a lot of work to be done in terms of getting the population covered for all kinds of risks, whether it's a home risk, a motor risk, or a health risk. Or even something like a travel risk. So these kind of risks are subject to catastrophes, and penetration is very important. And any help for the government towards buying of such covers will be a great expectation from our side.
So yeah. Do you expect an increase in Section 80D limit or introduction of a new section for deductions on home insurance premiums?
Yes, absolutely. You are bang on, Preeti. Both these areas we would expect an increase because you would have noticed the cost of healthcare has gone up. The pandemic has shown us that even a small infection can cost us a lot. If you get into a critical phase where you need treatment to survive, either in terms of an ICU or a ventilator. So given that perspective, we may need to have, increased coverage. And for that, obviously, it will cost more premium. Hence, the limits for allowable deductions for not only covering yourself, but your entire family, because this is what the families, pandemic showed us, that, entire family can get infected at one time. So it's just not enough to cover yourself. And hence, to increase the limit for not only the premium, but in terms of the number of people who would get covered, is one such expectation. There are slightly different limits for senior citizens and all that. That is welcome. Even that needs to go up. And for home, like you rightly said, this is something which we have seen in terms of the cyclones, like a cyclone Amphan and various other NISARG, which has hit us during the the lockdown, that such covers are necessary for us to be able to compensate for the relief and the rehabilitation and the reinstatement of such properties.
Okay. And do you think the budget will focus a lot more on the healthcare sector this year, not just health insurance, but healthcare?
Yes. I think, there is a need to improve and increase the kind of investments we make in our healthcare sector. As historically, India has been, contributing about roughly around 1% of the GDP towards healthcare, which needs to go up significantly in advanced countries. It is much more. There's a good initiative the government has started on the demand side through schemes like the Prime Minister's Jan Arogya Bima and all of that, where they have Arogya, you know, Sri scheme, all of that will definitely push, you know, the increase of access to healthcare. And if, you know, access to healthcare is pushed through, you know, demand-based creation through insurance, obviously, you know, healthcare sector needs to be propped up. People who have money now will need, good healthcare. And for that, the supply is sometimes limited. And hence, investment in that sector is very, very important, both on the public and the private side. Along with that, we are hoping that the government would also invest a lot on, you know, which is what they're doing now, currently on vaccines and preventions, you know, of infectious disease, and also taking care of the, you know, through establishment of, you know, what they've started in terms of Jana Arogya Kendras, in terms of places where you can get a lot of early checkups and various other things, so that you are able to manage critical, you know, primary health, you know, kind of investments is, you know, very much required at this point of time. You know, because you can't, like the pandemic is known as, you know, you can't treat everyone in the hospitals. You have to make sure that they keep themselves safe. They are able to, you know, kind of take care of themselves, which happened during quarantining, self-isolating and all of that.
Right.
So all that, you know, has to take care of, you know, being taken care of in other diseases which are much more chronic in nature and which can have a debilitating impact in the senior years of our life. You know, a bit like conditions like diabetes, hypertension, to just name a small thing, which could be the precursor of much more, you know, devastating critical illnesses.
Okay. So, speaking of COVID specifically, now insurers and hospitals were involved in disputes almost since the beginning of the pandemic, and policyholders have often had to pay a lot more money from their pocket. So, could you just, what is the current status on insurers' dealings with hospitals, particularly for COVID claims at the moment?
Yes, I think the insurers are covering it. You know, they have been covering from day one of the pandemic. The regulator has also been, you know, absolutely clear that no policy will exclude pandemic, you know, claims. So that's one big part. So we've also been asked to speed up our cashless processes. In the midst of all of this, you know, there have been attempts to be able to come down to, you know, rationalization of what is paid and not whether there was some confusion at the beginning. So that, I think, over the course of time has got, you know, rationalized, even in terms of, you know, what kind of agreements need to be with, you know, providers for in terms of cost of COVID treatment. Some guidelines were issued, you know, and some attempts are being made to be make sure that most of the providers agree to, you know, incorporate some form of pre-agreed, you know, rates, you know, with the insurer, so that the treatment for the policyholder is smooth and we can take care of it within the sum insured he's been, you know, he has actually, to be able to take care of, you know, his treatment. Amidst all of this, of course, you know, we would have noticed that the insurer, you know, with the active guidance of the regulator, went out and issued a COVID-only product. And of course, we, you know, during the pandemic itself, we've launched a standard medical insurance, health insurance policy for everyone,
right,
as an industry, which is Arogya Sanjeevani.
Right. So what are the key issues that the pandemic reinforced last year? Of the need for a hospital regulator or simpler policy wording so that customers don't feel shortchanged later.
Yeah, so that the second part has taken place. You know, a lot of simple, you know, simpler wordings have come out. You know, in October 2020 onwards, you know, we have, you know, much more simpler definitions of payables, non-payables. All that has become part of regulations. And, you know, the other part is that now, you know, few, you know, diseases where there was some ambiguity on coverage. Once you are insured, you know, you would get coverages for diseases, you know, which were ambiguous, mental illness, HIV and all of that.
Okay. And overall, what are the lessons that insurers and hospitals can pick up from what happened last year?
So I think the big lesson which I think insurers and providers or healthcare sector needs to pick up is that we need to be much more prepared for such pandemics, ability to pass information, react very fast, both in terms of treatment protocols, you know, the providers have to adapt to, and, you know, the whole attempt to be able to facilitate, you know, treatment with coordination between us has become very, very important. This third part is that, you know, both the providers and insurers have to be very well coordinated to take care of the policyholder, because, you know, at times he's struggling. You know, don't know what is covered, not covered, how will it be covered and all of that. So that part is becoming important. And, you know, finally, more important is that we must make sure that they have coverages. Like we came out with, you know, a very difficult cover at the midst of the pandemic to give a corona-specific policy for a limited short period. That was a big innovation this industry did. And then, you know, things like that, we need to be able to react so that people are able to avail certain, you know, treatments and launch of things which, you know, actually supplement, you know, the hospital effort, which you can't have everyone crowding into the hospital. So some element of treatment, you know, for such illnesses which can be managed at home, you know, through home care, we launched a product innovation based on that, you know, and the kind of covers to take care of some extra payouts, different kinds of covers. So some benefit cover just to, you know, when you get contracted disease, you get some money. So that you're able to take care of all your ancillary payments. All this innovation and the thought process around that is, you know, has been, you know, something which is born out of this pandemic. So there were, you know, serious, you know, expectations, which both from the healthcare sector and the insurance sector, and those expectations have actually come much earlier than, you know, what was anticipated, and hence we need to work together to be able to deliver for the customer.
Okay. Any COVID specific claim trends that you can share that you observed last year?
So yes, you know, you would be aware of the industry figures. So right. We've had the last count, I mean, I believe around 12,000 crores of claims have been, you know, lodged for the industry, which again, if you look at it as a percentage of the, you know, I think these are all hospital, mostly hospitalization claims. So hence they are, you know, a small percentage of the number of people who are infected. Correct. So, and hence that's one, you know, not everyone who's infected needs hospitalization. While the hit has been, the impact of that has been, you know, pretty significant for us, and we actually, all of us have geared up to be able to take that impact. But the other relieving part is that there have been, you know, at least hopefully, you know, if with the vaccine, you know, in play, you know, slowly round the corner in terms of getting place and the controls which have already come in terms of containment, the various efforts of society, the government, and the, you know, the people at large through, you know, self kind of preservation through use of masks and sanitation and containment. All that is helping arrest the spread of the disease. So this is a, you know, plus for us. Now, so because the whole idea, Preeti, is not that, you know, this entire amount is not spent in infection. We have so many other diseases in the care of this country. There are a lot of people who are suffering from cancer, from kidney failures, and all of these are critical illnesses. They are going to be there for a long time. We have a large population, which will over a period of time will age, will have this critical illness. So we need to conserve money, both on, from the healthcare sector as well as the insurance sector, to be able to cater to these all, you know, very, very critical diseases, which may not affect the masses at one time, which a pandemic does, but it does affect any one of us, actually. So, and for us to be able to have cover and be able to access good quality healthcare to be able to take care of this critical illness is also very, very important. So the pandemic is a one-time thing. It is, while it has caused a lot of, had a lot of impact both on lives and livelihood, but the learnings out of that will, you know, help us to be able to strengthen our systems as we go forward and make sure that we are able to contain infections going forward, because we don't want such kind of outgo for infections going ahead. We're able to contain it at the earliest through, you know, basically containment measures which are safety oriented, as also development of, you know, fast development of vaccines, which has been some of the one of the most you know, best outcomes of, you know, because normally vaccines take a lot of time to develop. So they've, you know, coming together and across the world, this race to develop vaccines is one good positive factor that we will have technology down the line which will help us to arrest, you know, this kind of impact or limit the impact of such pandemics going ahead.
Right. And in terms of age and comorbidities, has insurers' experience been similar to that of the larger population in the country? Has that been in line with...
Yes, I think absolutely, you know, right. It's been in line. So similar, you know, kind of things, mild illness, around 85%, you know, the rest, you know, are mostly the ones which have needed some of, you know, healthcare. Amongst that, again, the critical illnesses have been... you know, a certain percentage, you know, which is there. And so that's kind of been mostly, you know, mimicking that particular trend in the country.
Okay. So as we saw, the awareness around health insurance grew last year. Do you expect it to sustain this year, assuming, of course, that the situation settles down post-vaccine rollout?
Yes, the awareness of health insurance has grown up tremendously. While there may be a, you know, a drop as the, you know, the infection goes down, the need for COVID specific kind or illness specific kind of covers, which are more more to take care of the current scenarios. But the long term awareness that even young people need health insurance, they need to plan early, they may be vulnerable, their families may be vulnerable, is something which has come through. Because normally the thought was that most is health insurance in this country, the awareness builds up after 35. So that particular change is one thing which should be a positive out of this, because you need to plan your health insurance and start taking it early enough. This is one of the things in Western countries, developed countries, there are situations where people take it from birth, itself insurance. So they're covered, from their birth till, it's called a cradle to grave kind of insurance.
Okay.
So that, I think we need to, more and more people need to be covered, because two reasons. One is this kind of impact of, need to protect against pandemics like this, which are rare. But the fact is that we are now seeing also trends that a critical illness may visit any one of us at any age. And given the fact that you need quality healthcare and it will cost some money, and access to that, requires finances, you would need to have, sufficient insurance of a certain size to be able to cover, of a certain size to be able to access for these critical illnesses.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mr. Datta, for your views and input.
It was great pleasure interacting with you, Preeti, and lovely being on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
With that, it is a wrap of this episode of Simply Safe. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can write to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.